Hey, good morning, everyone. It is so good to have you here with us this morning. And if you were able to join us for the first 2 weeks of this series, and for any of you who were then hoping to maybe see our good friend James Brown continue in this series for a third week, then let me just apologize to you now. As you can see, I am not James Brown. I'm not nearly as good looking as James Brown. But it was James, right, who kicked off this series. If you don't know me, my name is Sten, and I actually am the pastor here at Midcurrent Church. But it was James who kicked off the first 2 weeks in this series called 2020 Crossing. And oh my goodness, has it been a good one. James has gotten off to a great start. And so now I am pumped to take the baton from him and to bring a close to this series 2020 Crossing. Are you ready for it? There we go. Let's get right into it. You may not know this about me, but that there are few things that I enjoy talking about less, as in I really do not enjoy talking about it. Few things I enjoy talking about less than politics. Okay, I'm not saying that it's not important. It is. It's important to me. I just don't really love getting into conversation about it all. And yet here we are, and it seems like the political conversation is everywhere, okay? And one of the hot button topics right now, one of the really hot issues on the campaign trails right now, and even in contemporary culture, one of the hot button topics is the environment, okay? And amidst all the allegations and all the accusations, the understanding behind it all, behind all the conversation, whatever your view is on the whole thing, the understanding behind it all is that one way or another, caring for creation, it is an important thing. Okay, now there's plenty of disagreements about how we do that and what that looks like, and I don't really care to get into any of that today, actually. But what most people, I hope, can agree on is the fact that you know, creation, caring for creation is an important thing. In fact, one of the ways that scientists have begun to evaluate your environmental impact is to measure what they call your carbon footprint. Okay, and they define your carbon footprint as this: the total amount of carbon dioxide or greenhouse gases emitted due to the consumption of fossil fuels by a particular person, group, corporation, or event. Okay, if you're curious about this kind of thing, if you're curious about your own environmental sensitivity, all you have to do is Google carbon footprint calculator, and you will find hundreds of resources designed to help you figure out how you're doing with all of that, right? And if you do, if you take time to take the test, what you will find is that no matter what tool that you decide to use, they all have one goal in mind, which is this: to help you reduce the impact, or to reduce the footprint that you will leave on this planet while you are here. Okay, that's their goal, to help you reduce your impact, reduce your footprint. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but God also has a footprint measurement system as well. But here's the deal with God's system. God's system actually works in the exact opposite way. Okay? Although the objective is still the same, to leave this planet a whole lot better off than when we first got here, instead of trying to accomplish that by reducing the impact of your existence, God's goal, okay, is that you would actually increase the impact of your existence, that you would actually increase the impact of your life, that you would maximize your life and your potential and your abilities and your gifts and your talents, so that when you finally leave this world, you would be leaving behind you a generation impacting, a giant-sized, faith-filled footprint. Okay? That's what I think the psalmist was saying, essentially, in Psalm 78 when he wrote this: "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to all of Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them. even the children not yet born yet, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. You see, when it comes to our spiritual footprint, that the question is not, isn't whether or not you will leave a footprint. Rather, the question is, what kind of footprint will you leave? And that's the question that I want to try to help you answer in the final week in our series 2020 Crossings. We have been saying throughout the series that life comes down to a series of crossings as we cross into and cross over to what it is and to who it is that God is calling us to be. And lucky for us, there's a story in the Bible that gives us a really great blueprint, in a way, for how it is we make these crossings in our own lives. And that story is told in the Bible book called Joshua. And we've been kind of tracing through Joshua, which is a book about a guy named, any guesses? Joshua. You guys are so smart. It's a book of Joshua, all about a guy named Joshua who led the Israelites to the promised land. But here's the deal. Getting there was not easy. Okay? Getting to the promised land took a whole lot of courage. For starters, their fearless leader, God's people, their fearless leader, Moses, who led the people so heroically out of slavery and led them through the wilderness and then led them right to the edge of the land that God promised them, he died. Okay, and so that's where Joshua comes into the picture. He takes the leadership baton from Moses, and now he is the one that's going to help the people make their final crossing into the place that God had promised him. And it's under his leadership that the people had to take a pretty risky step of faith and a pretty risky just physical step as well. See, God told them that they had to cross the Jordan River. That was the last step. The land that God had promised them, it was just on the other side of the Jordan River. And so God told them they had to cross into the Jordan. And that might sound like, well, hey, easy, no big deal. The only problem with that, though, is if you were here last week, you might even remember the video that James showed of the footage of the Jordan River, right? The only problem with God's command to just step into the Jordan River is that it was a steep-banked, flooded, rocky, surging river when God commanded them to cross. So this was not just like a dip your toes into the water to see if it's warm kind of step that God was asking them to take. And so the question is, what would they do? Would they stay on the bank where they had gotten that far? Would they just stay there where sometimes it's pretty comfortable, where you can throw a picnic and throw a frisbee and drop a line in the water? Or would they take a risk and step into the surging river and stop just as God commanded them to, right? Would they opt for comfort or would they obey God's command? If you were here last week or if you just know the story, you might know what they did. They took that step into the surging, flooded, raging river. And as they did, God acted. God performed a miracle. God stopped the Jordan River from flowing on either side so that the Israelites could cross over on dry ground. And the lesson that we learned from that, which I think is a lesson that we see all throughout the Bible, is that God honors faith, right? Last week, James said that risk is what God rewards. I like that. Risk is what God rewards. God acts as we obey him, even when it seems crazy and even when it seems irrational to do so. And so what we've been asking you in this series is this: what crossing do you need to make in your life right now? It's a question that we've been hoping that you have been wrestling with in these weeks. What crossing do you need to make right now? What step is it that God is nudging you to take? Is it to come out of hiding? Take your mask off and actually get some help with your anger or your depression or your addiction? Is it to leave the shallow land of superficial relationships and to get into a small group of other people who want to go deeper with one another and go deeper with God? Or maybe it's to take a step toward reconciliation with someone that you've been at odds with for months or for years or for decades. Or maybe it's to start taking a step from living a life of success to living a life of significance, or maybe it's to finally get involved with some kind of ministry to others that allows God to use your story to impact and to benefit others. It could be something entirely different for you, the crossing that is in front of you right now. But whatever it is, what I want to try to do today is to give you one last push. I want to use the rest of my time to try to give you just one last motivational push to take that step that might seem crazy, that step that might seem irrational, okay? And without beating around the bush anymore, here it is. Here is the motivation that I'm hoping would help you or push you to take that step. Somebody's watching you. Okay, someone's going to fill the footprint that you leave behind when you take that step. And if you take that step, not only do you win, but those around you and those who are coming behind you and those who are coming after you, they win too. Because the step that you take, it will cause a ripple effect. Okay, that's why we always have to look ahead and to be mindful and to be thinking about the footprint that we're leaving. We're going to leave something behind. We're going to leave something behind for those who follow us. The question is, what's it going to be? What is it that we're going to be leaving behind for those people that come after us? Is it a pile of money? Is it a boat? An old, you know, antique gun collection? Is it a vintage car, an inheritance? Maybe it's a cabin on the lake. Those are all good things. Those are all fine targets to be shooting for. Personally, I'm shooting for the cabin on the lake kind of deal. All good things. But none of those things are the most important thing that we can leave behind, which is this: a spiritual footprint. Okay, a legacy of what it means to truly follow Jesus, an example of what it means to love God and to love others. And if I can be so bold, let me just share a gentle warning with you when it comes to this idea of leaving a legacy. Let me just share a gentle warning with you, which is this: never assume that legacy will just happen. Okay, never assume that you leaving a legacy that you want to leave is just going to happen. Okay, it takes great, great, great intentionality to do so. And so today, I want to try to show you exactly what I mean by that as we continue on in this story of Joshua. And we're going to continue on in Joshua chapter 4. But before we get there, let me just get you all up to speed with a quick review of where we've been so far, right? God's people have been led right to the edge, right to the bank of the land that God has promised them. They just got across the river. They're almost there, but there was a few important steps along the way. The first of which was to put a knee to the ground, okay? And this was a step of preparation that they were commanded to take. They knew that there would be no crossing without a cleansing of their sin. They knew that they could not move forward until they allowed God to move in them, right? So they had to put a knee to the ground, okay? The second step was this that we talked about just last week. They had to put a foot in the water. It's crazy. It seemed irrational, but it's what God told them to do. They had to put a foot into the water. They knew that they had to take a risk, a faith-filled step forward. That irrational, that crazy, that God, if you don't do something here, we're toast kind of step. And here's the good news. God shows up. The miracle happens. And now we pick up on things in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it says. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, and carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." And so Joshua called together the 12 men that he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. That's how they were kind of divided and separated out into tribes. So he called them together. Verse 5, he told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan, the place that you just passed through, that we just passed through on dry ground. Go into the middle of the Jordan and in front of the ark of the Lord your God. And each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel." Now pay attention to this. This is what I want you to see here this morning. Verse 6, Joshua says to them, "And we will use these stones for what? We will use these stones as footrests and new furniture in the promised land. We will use these stones to build a new fire ring in the place that we're going to camp tonight in our new pad." No. Joshua says to them, "We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future," he says, "your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." I love that. Right? It's right there in verse 6. Go back and look at verse 6. I mean, I want you to see the intentionality here. Joshua is coaching the people on the final piece, the final leg, the final step of their crossing. He's giving them the final piece to the blueprint of their crossing, which is this: to cast an eye to the future. Right? They got to have a knee to the ground, a foot in the water, and they have to have an eye to the future. See, these stones, 100 pounds in weight, these stones had a purpose. They were piled high as a physical reminder of what God had done for the people. Okay? That they were a visual aid to be used when? In the future, to teach the next generation about God's faithfulness to them. These kind of visual aids are so important, right? These kind of physical reminders that are left for us are so important. They serve a vital, vital purpose. And as I thought about it, it hit me that my parents left me with a whole bunch of these kind of physical reminders as well. And I'm not talking about 100-pound stones. They didn't leave me with any of those. But here's a few things they did leave me with. Here's the first: a yellow legal pad. 13 years ago, my dad passed away. And not only was he sick during these last few years, but he was also unemployed, looking for work in these very same years. And these were arguably some of the most difficult years of his life. And he spent most of them, most mornings at least during these years, he spent most of them in the same spot every morning, on the same couch at the bottom of the stairs, reading his Bible, doing devotions, praying, and journaling. Okay? This wasn't always the case. This wasn't always the routine. This wasn't always the practice for him, this intentionally. But here's what I saw. Here's what I learned from all this: that when life got harder, he dug deeper. And after he passed away, we found stacks of these stuffed under the couch in the place that he sat every morning. Each of them filled, I can just see his handwriting, each of them filled with journal entries, notes from his devotions, each one of them filled with hopes and dreams and fears and prayers of his, all signs of the faith that he was leaning on in the moment. Okay, here's another one. Another physical reminder that my parents left for me. It's a checkbook. Okay, now for anybody who's maybe just slightly younger than me, checks were an ancient form of payment, money transfer from one person to the next, okay? And so before text to give options and automated giving online, my parents, I watched them. I watched the returns kind of come back to the house and you spread them out over the dining room table, right? Each week, my parents wrote out one of these things called checks to the church that we attended. Even when my dad was unemployed, they gave. It wasn't always as much. It wasn't always what it had been in the past. It wasn't always as much as they hoped that it would be, but they gave. It was a priority to them. Giving back to God was a priority. Giving back to God who had given them so much was important to them. Okay, here's another one, and I'm actually wearing it right now. It's my dad's wedding ring that I wear today. Okay? This wedding ring is a reminder to me that marriage is something worth fighting for. My parents, they fought for the marriage that they had, just like all of us have to do, through every high and through every low. And when I see this ring, I think of the legacy. I think of the example that my parents left for me. Okay, there's still one more, but this is not so much of a physical object that I can show you. It's a physical activity that I can tell you about. Growing up as a kid, just outside of Chicago, and my whole life, really, even, we went to church together as a family every Sunday. Rain, snow, sleet, hail, late night before, soccer game that afternoon, it didn't matter. It made no difference. We were going. The same is true for my wife, Erica. I love the story she tells. She remembers her parents making her go to church the morning after prom. Right? She even says, you know, hairdo and all. She called it an updo. I don't know what that means, but right? She said, updo and all. She was going to be in church the next morning. Right? Her parents said, hey, be safe. Have fun, stay out late, do what you want to do, but we're going to church in the morning. And you might be saying, well, hey, that's strict, and that sounds kind of old-fashioned, and that sounds kind of outdated. And you might be right. I'm fine with that. You might be right if that's what you're saying, but here's what I'd say. I'd say that her parents were leaving for her a footprint for her to step into. And today, When so many of her friends have graduated from church, when so many of her friends have lost interest and have just kind of walked away and really, you know, grown apart from the church, she's giving her life to building it. And she's now modeling it for our kids. Every Sunday, she models it for our own kids, what it means to love the church, what it means to serve the church, what it means to give yourself to the bride of Christ, which is the church. You know what all of these things are to me? Legal pads and checkbooks and rings, memories of Sunday mornings. They're stones of remembrance. They're visible realities that this invisible God was real. And that he was worth following and he was worth dedicating your life to. It was crystal clear to me, and it was crystal clear to Erica that our parents had a faith in Jesus Christ and a real living and a real active relationship with him. And it trickled on down to us. We didn't just stumble into this life that we're living. Right? We didn't just stumble into making crazy decisions to start things from nothing and to give ourselves to the church and to give everything that we had to this God who first gave to us. We didn't just stumble into that. We stepped into it. It was a footprint that our parents left for us. See, this kind of example is so important because here's what we know. Parents, you know this, right? That although our kids rarely listen to us, they're always watching us. You know that. Although our kids in the next generation are rarely listening to us, they're always watching us. They're watching what we do. The next generation coming up behind us. They're watching what we do. They're watching what we prioritize. They're watching what we give our time and our money and our attention to. They're watching how we handle conflict and relationship and communication with one another. They're watching how we, they're watching what it is that we value. They're watching what it is that we say with our life is important. And that's the motivation that I think we need to take this final step, right? To realize, to understand, you know, that someone's watching us. Someone is going to inherit what it is that we leave behind. And so the vital part of every crossing, this is what I want us to understand today, a vital part to every crossing that is just in front of us is the understanding that our crossing is not for ourselves only. God's brought us to the edge of something, and he's asking us just to go a little further. There is a crossing in front of each and every one of us. In our crossing, it is not for ourselves only. With every decision we make, with every crossing that we make, we have to cast an eye to the future. With every step that we take, with every risk that we take, we have to realize that the next generation is watching us, and they will step into whatever footprint it is that we leave for them. The preparation that we make when we put a knee to the ground, right? The risk that we take when we put a foot into the water today, it will be leaving a footprint for the next generation to step into. So let me just ask you then, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, right, big brothers and big sisters, godparents, teachers, mentors, best friends, what footprint are you leaving? Are you passing on a vibrant faith to those who are watching you and to those who are coming up behind you? If you want the answer to be a resounding yes, yes, I do want to pass on a vibrant faith. And there's one thing that I think all of us need to know, which is this. We cannot pass on something that we do not possess. If we want to pass on a legacy of dedication and loyalty and commitment and faith and generosity, we cannot pass on something to the next generation that we do not possess. And so that's why we at Midcurrent Church, we want to help every person that walks through our doors to possess and to develop a vibrant faith as much as possible. That's why we work as hard as we can to create opportunities every single Sunday for you right here in these seats. We want you to show up. We want you to want to be here, to show up in this place because we believe that something transformative happens when we do. We believe something transformative happens in you when you show up. That's why we keep trying and rethinking and reworking opportunities to help you move out of these rows on Sundays and into circles with one another, right? So that you can grow in your relationship with God and that you can grow in your relationship with other people who are also pursuing God. That's why we're creating opportunities for you to serve, right? To actually be the hands and feet of Jesus, to run races that provide clean drinking water for kids, to put warm roofs over people's heads in these cold winter months, to stock food shelves that fill empty stomachs, or maybe to serve here at Midcurrent in a way that helps us to fill empty hearts here for people in the community. So if you want to live out this kind of faith, or I should say if you do, right? If you do live this out, if you live out this kind of faith, here's the deal. You will leave a footprint. You will leave a legacy worth remembering. But you have to remember, you can never assume that legacy is just going to happen. And more importantly than that, never assume that there's plenty of time to leave one. Oh yeah, next year. I'll get real serious about that for us. Well, yeah, next summer, that'll be the time. right? I'll finally have the margin. I'll find next summer I'll get to this, and next summer I'll make sure that this is really who it is that I'm going to be, right? Never assume that there's plenty of time to leave one. As a church, we get that. We know that windows of opportunity open and close quickly. We know that momentum comes and goes, right? We know that there are moments where, yeah, people are interested in church. There's moments where people aren't as interested in church. We know that windows open and close and momentum comes and goes. Right now, here's the truth. Midcurrent is in a pretty great place in just a couple of short years. I mean, just over 2 years, week in and week out. God has already done a whole lot. God already has given us a whole lot. And with that blessing, with each blessing that God gives us, comes a great responsibility. And so we can't stop reaching out. We can't stop moving forward. We can't just say, well, hey, look here. We did it. We can't just say, well, I kind of like what we've got going on here with these people. I like this. Let's just kind of keep it all like this. This is good, right? The truth is there are thousands of people in this region where we live, the places we call home, that are far from God. There are people that are spiritually lost, spiritually confused, asking deep spiritual questions. And more significantly, there are people facing an eternity separated from the God who loves them. Okay? That's why we take seriously our efforts to create spaces here every single week where real people can meet a real God. Folks, let me tell you, it would be so much easier if we could just, you know, create space for church people and for religious people and for people who already knew how to do this whole dance. It'd be so much easier if we could just do that. Let's just do all this for people that know how this game works and people that know how to play this game and do this dance. That would be so much easier if we didn't have to work hard to think about how we introduce people to the heart of a very real God. It'd be so much easier. But we don't want that. We don't think that's what God wants. We want real, everyday, ordinary people just like you and me to have the chance, if they have not had that chance. We want them to have the chance to meet and to grow in a relationship with an extraordinary God. That's why every new year for us is a crossing. Every new year, every new week is a crossing for us to move into a new year with the life-changing message of Jesus in our pocket. And the truth is, we can't pull off this kind of crossing year in and year out. We can't pull off this kind of crossing this year without every single one of you. We can't reach more people. We can't teach more kids. We can't invest in more teenagers. We can't reach out into this community and hire other people to join us in leading those things. We can't do it without you. We can't do it unless you show up and unless you invite, unless you give, unless you serve here. We can't do it without more people who are willing to take their life of success and turn it into a life of significance. We can't do it without more people who are willing to let their story be used by God to benefit and to pour into the lives of other people. See, it was in total from when we were really at the starting line, it was almost 3 years ago now, that about 30 people, some of whom are here today, 3 years ago that about 30 people made a crossing. To move into some uncharted territory. 30 brave people took a step of faith and started this church. Gathered in rooms like this, nobody knew each other. Like, I don't know who he is. Then just got me into this room here. I don't know, right? 30 of us gathered in those early days. And these 30 people, they sacrificed a lot of time. They sacrificed a lot of money. They sacrificed a lot of energy. They sacrificed the kind of church that maybe ultimately they would prefer for themselves to create something out of nothing. And because they did, hundreds of people now call this church home. Because they did, many people who previously had very little interest in God or in church have walked through these doors for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Six people have been baptized. 100 kids in the developing world now have clean access to clean drinking water. Marriages have been saved. Hungry bellies have been filled. Empty hearts have been filled. And the list goes on. See, those 30 people left a pretty sizable footprint 3 years ago. And it's hard to imagine. It was hard. I was there. It was hard to imagine what was possible. I got to imagine these 30 people were thinking it's pretty hard to imagine what was possible, what was going to come of all this, what was going to happen, what was really going to play out. But because they stepped into the waters, all of us are here today. And our lives have been impacted in some small way because of it. So now let's fast forward. Not just 3 years, but 30 years. 30 years from now, people will be looking back at this moment. People will be looking back at us here today. And the question is, what are they going to see? I mean, the question is, are they going to be thankful? Are they going to be grateful that we as a church decided to open these doors? Are they going to be grateful that we decided to start another service, to free up another seat, to invest into the next generation, to do church a little differently than what had been done before? What will they see? When they look back at this moment now. See, folks, I think now is the time for us to make a footprint. It's time for us to cast an eye to the future, right? This year and every year after this, to make a footprint, to cast an eye to the future. And we know there's a lot of crossings happening in your life, but when it comes to our life here together, we want to give you an opportunity to let us know how you might do that. How you might make a footprint, leave a footprint, how you might cast an eye to the future. We want to give you an opportunity to let us know how you might do that right here at MidCurrent. So here's the deal. I'll close with this. On your seat when you came in, there was a little card that we just passed out, and it asked you to commit to one of a few things. The first of which was to pray regularly for what God is doing at MidCurrent Church. Right? The truth is, we need more people praying for what God is doing here. I cannot change the hearts of men and women in this community or anywhere. Right? I'm only talented enough to set up some chairs and to try to get some people to walk in the doors with the promise of a good cup of coffee. That's ultimately all that I cannot change hearts. And so we need people to be praying with us that God would come and be present here week in and week out. The second thing is to maybe think about it and committing to serving here regularly on a team that helps us to open these doors wide to people who are walking through the doors of a church for the first time in a long time, or maybe for the first time ever. And the third of which would be to think about how you might give regularly to the work that God is doing here, to the changing of lives, to the encouraging of hearts, to the strengthening of marriages and families and kids and teenagers. The band's going to close with one song here that we just want you to use as a moment. We just want to give you an opportunity to think about the footprint that you're going to leave in your own life. To think about the footprint that you're going to leave in your family. Think about the footprint that you're going to leave in your community. And we want you to think about the footprint that you might leave here with us together at MidCurrent Church. And when you leave today, we hope that you might leave that card with us. You can leave it on your chair. You can leave it at the welcome desk. You can leave it in the collection box. But one way or another, no matter what box you check, no matter what card you leave, we want you to walk out of here thinking about the legacy that you will leave, thinking about the footprint you will leave for those who are coming behind you. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for this morning. And we give you thanks for this story, God. that has so much to teach us about moving forward to the places that you are calling us, to the people that you want us to be. God, I'm thankful that you don't kind of airbrush the details of this story, that you called your people to great things and they just easily and quickly and triumphantly moved into the places that you called them. God, I'm so grateful that we get to see the challenge and the fear and the difficulty and the courage that it took to move forward. And I'm praying, God, that you would give us the same kind of courage, that we might find the courage, that we might find the motivation, that we might find the blueprint in this story for our own life, God, to make our own crossing. And God, as a church, as we cross into the places and as we reach out to the people that you want us to reach, God, we pray that you would just continue to give us the courage. God, that you would help us to reach far and wide, to give of ourselves to something greater, God, so that more and more people could be reminded of who you are, so that more and more people could know of your faithfulness, so that more and more people would know how good you are and how faithful you have been for generations. So God, in these moments, we pray that you would be clear to us about the steps we need to take and about the footprint that we need to leave. We ask that you would give us the courage to step forward. We pray these things in your name. Amen.